Exodus chapter 31. That's just going to be a starting point. We've got a lot of scripture tonight, and if you want to follow along in your Bible, that'd be great. Exodus chapter 31, when you get there, let's stand. I had this thought several weeks ago, and I wrote it down, and I'm thinking, well, would this make a good Bible study, or would this just make a good sermon? So we're going to get both.
Amen.
Exodus 31, verse 18, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon the Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to stand and preach your word. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. God, you lead and you guide and you help us as we try to preach this and do a Bible study. God, speak to hearts and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach and give a Bible study on this thought, when the finger of God writes something. I don't remember where I was at. I don't remember where the thought come to me from about this. And I think I was actually studying over in the book of Daniel, and I'll get to that in just a little bit, about how where Belshazzar was having the great party with all the things of the temple, and the finger hand of God came down and wrote on the plaster. But, you know, and I got to thinking about it. I wonder how many times did God write something? And I got studying on this and looking on this. And, you know, one thing about it, if God writes it down, man can't erase it.
Amen.
Amen. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. This was written by God.
Amen.
It ain't going to change. Your opinion of it, it might change, and people's standards might change, but that's not going to change. That's the word of God, amen? But let's just kind of just go look at a few things. In this passage that we read to you in Exodus, the finger of God writes his law. He is talking about when he wrote the Ten Commandments on the stones, and he gave them to Moses, and Moses came down and presented them to the children of Israel. The law reveals God's holy standard. When God, the finger of God wrote his law, it revealed God's holy standards. God's commandments are not of a, let me go ahead and tell you something. We can't vote on God's commandments. Your opinion on God's commandments don't matter. It really don't matter. Talking to another preacher this week and talking about how, you know, a lot of times if we ain't careful, people want to know your opinion. And I've told this story before about somebody calling me. They said, preacher, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. He said, what's your opinion on drinking? I said, well, the Bible says. He said, no, I know what the Bible says, but what's your opinion? I said, that is my opinion.
Amen.
It ain't going to change. I don't care. I don't care what you think. And it don't matter what I think. If the Bible says it, that settles it, amen. But somebody said, you know, I saw a bumper sticker one time. It said, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, the Bible says it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So it reveals God's standard. God's word's not going to change. It still applies today. And it shows that we cannot, one of the things I thought about as I was studying, this shows that we cannot live up to God's standards.
Amen.
That's what the law was. The law was perfect. So that's why men couldn't do anything about it. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled every part of it. So it proved that we cannot live up to God. The law exposes sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 7:7 says this, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. In other words, those Ten Commandments, those laws of God, and that Bible is there for reason. If somebody hadn't have preached to me about tithing, I wouldn't have realized that it was a sin not to tithe. If somebody hadn't have preached to me about adultery, I mean, but if we ain't careful, somebody, well, that's just common knowledge. No, it ain't.
That's right. Come on.
You'd be surprised at what people have goes on in this world that they think it's just everyday stuff, and they don't think nothing about it until they find out that God's law, God's word is against it. So the fingertip of God wrote that, amen? It also shows God's authority. God wrote the book.
Amen.
I've said this before. If God wrote only one book, you ought to read it.
Amen.
We need to put down all these here novels that we like to read, put down all these harlot romances and all that kind of stuff, and pick up God's word. You want to know, you want to read about murder? Read God's word. You want to read about adultery? Read God's word. You want to read about war? Read God's word. Get into this Bible right here. There's more in that Bible than you can ever watch on TV.
Amen.
God wrote it. The fingertip of God wrote it. Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Yeah.
This is the only thing, folks, that's going to stand, amen? The world keeps changing, standards keep changing, but this right here is constant. It stays the same. The fingertip of God. The fingertip of God wrote conviction. Now, John chapter 8, if you want to turn over to John chapter 8, we all know the story. The Bible says in verse 1, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They bring up the law. I just told you what the law said. God wrote the law. They sat there questioning Jesus about the law, and Jesus is the one that wrote it. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So the fingertip of God writes in the dirt. We don't know what he wrote. Nobody knows what he wrote. Preacher Billy Fields sat down one time and tried to explain to me what he thought he wrote, what he thought that God wrote. He got over my head real quick. I'm going to be honest with you. I checked out. We don't know what he wrote. But whatever he wrote convicted those men. Now you think about that. Whatever he wrote pierced their hearts. He might have stooped down and wrote their names. They knew the Ten Commandments. They knew all the laws. They knew every one of them by number, brother. It's like 613 commandments that the Jews try to live by. They knew. Maybe he wrote down and wrote one of them's name. And number 6. Or maybe he wrote one of them's name and wrote 24. How many times have we ever looked at somebody and said, I can't believe they did that. I cannot believe they did that. I wonder if Jesus would write that, write your name, what number he'd write beside it. See, the fingertip of God writes conviction. Conviction comes before conversion comes. One by one, every one of them starts walking away. Now, I never thought about this until today as I was studying this. Grace was there. Whatever their sin was, they ought. Now listen, Benji, every one of them had sinned. Every one of them had a guilty conscience. Nobody could throw a stone because they knew they were guilty. So every one of them had sinned. But grace was there. They walked away. Jesus looks up at this woman and says, where are thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. In other words, Jesus gave her grace. If those men would have just stayed and said, Lord, please forgive me, they could have had grace too, but they didn't. And how many times have we done that? When grace was right there, when grace was offered, we turned away. We've done it since we got saved. Don't shout me down right there, but it's the truth. So Jesus, the finger of God, wrote about conviction. The finger of God writes judgment. Now, this is where Daniel chapter 5, and I'm not going to read all of it, but we know the story. Daniel, Belshazzar was having a party. They were having a week-long party, and it kind of went over. He had all the high-ups all around, and he was feeling frisky. So they start drinking, and you know how when you get drinking, you get stupid.
Amen.
Some of y'all forgot how y'all was. But when you get to drinking, you get stupid. There have been a lot of people over the years that got to drinking and got stupid and ruined their life. Belshazzar gets the bright idea, hey, I'm going to impress my friends. He calls for the things that were taken out of the temple. See, they was in exile now. They called for all the goblets and the gold things in the that was taken out of the temple, and they start drinking and they start partying with the things of God. And the hand comes down and writes on the plaster. The Bible says it scared him so bad, Gavin, that his knees knocked together. Sobered him up just like that. Nobody could answer what, nobody could say what was going on. So they called for Daniel. Daniel comes down, and basically Daniel tells him, said, I'm gonna tell you. You ain't going to like it, but I'm going to tell you. And what was written on the wall was, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Basically what it says, thou hast been weighed and found wanting. And Daniel said, tonight your kingdom will come to an end, because you disrespected God. I just preached just a couple of weeks ago on the attributes of God. The number one attribute of God is God's holiness. Amen. We cannot get away with sin. We can't, let me go and tell you something, folks. You ain't going to get away with nothing with God. Amen. They disrespected God. Belshazzar ignored God's warning. Let pride. I was talking to somebody this morning, and I told him, I said, the number one thing that hurts people in church is pride. Amen. That's the number one killer of Christians. That's the number one killer of churches. That's the number one destroyer of a Christian is pride. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. They can come and apologize to me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go down to that altar. I'm not going to do that. Belshazzar let pride destroy him. And the hand of God came down and got his attention. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When the hand of God comes down, you take notice. I've said this many times over the years, Chucky. And I don't know about all y'all. There have been a few times over the years that God had to come down and take me to the woodshed. And God does a whole lot worse whooping than my daddy ever did. So the hand of God writes judgment. The finger of God can write deliverance. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 17, but he knowing their thoughts said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you. I thought about it as I was studying, it's the finger of God, the finger anger of God is stronger than the whole, all of Satan's army, all of Satan's minions, all the demons cast together. The finger of God can deliver when every devil in hell is fighting against us. Thank God. The finger of God is stronger. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All means all, and that's all means. Amen. Jesus got all power. Amen? That's what we give up on too soon. We come in and we just because God don't answer our prayers immediately and God don't come down and take care of the problem when we want him to take care of the problem, we don't think God can do it. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, Jairus went before Jesus and Jairus asked Jesus to go and touch his daughter. He said, my daughter is laying at the point of death, and they're headed to Jairus' house, and they come and tell Jairus, he said, trouble not the master no more. Thy daughter is dead. Jesus said, hey, be not afraid, only believe. And I'm just going to tell you, hey, it might not come when you think it ought to, but I'm telling you right now, deliverance can come. The same finger that wrote the law is the same finger that saves sinners. Amen. Somebody ought to shout right there. Amen. The same finger that wrote the law is the same finger that can deliver. Amen. Amen. The finger of God writes our future. Psalms 139, verse 16 says this, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God knows our days. God knows our days. The Bible tells us in Psalms 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 39, verse 4, the Lord make me to know mine end and to measure my days. What is it? That I may know how frail I am. God's plans are better than our plans. How long is it going to take us to realize that? That God knows better about what we need than we know better about. I will never forget when I first moved up here, there was a guy coming to church. He's passed away by now. And he told me one time, he said, I figured out a long time ago that God could do a whole lot more with 90% than I can do with 100%. Amen. God knows our plans. But sometimes God has better plans. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. My plan was to retire from the highway patrol at 46 years old. I said, I'm going to give them 25 years, Brother Ralph, and that's all they're getting. I was going to retire and do something else. I could have retired at 46 years old. The Lord had different plans. Now I'm going to probably have to work till I'm 90, but that's all right. I'm just joking. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I wouldn't go back and change one thing. How God has worked my life out. Mike sung the song, God's been good. If God's been good to you, just go ahead and raise your hand just so. Just go ahead and praise him. Just take a little praise break, amen. God knows what. God had better plans for you than you had for yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The finger of God also writes on our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says this. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Aren't you glad God writes on our heart? Think about that. Don't you think about something in just a second. Change has got to come from the inside out. Amen? You know, when a person comes down and gets saved, I met a man one time when I was in Orangeburg. He come to see Preacher Earl Hanna, and he come in, and he was clean shaven. I mean, short hair. I think he had a little mustache, and we eat lunch together, and we were talking, and Preacher Earl said, He said, show Timmy your old driver's license. He pulled out this old driver's license, Alan, and handed it to me. And I'm telling you right now, he looked like a booger. I'm talking about long hair. I'm talking about a beard. I mean, just look like Charles Manson. Preacher Hannah said when he come to church that morning, that's what he looked like. He said he went to the altar and got saved. He said that night he came back to church. He said, I didn't even know who he was. He walked in and said, hey, preacher, how you doing? He said, what's your name? He said, I'm so-and-so. When that man got saved with the long hair and the long beard, if he'd have died before he got out of the church, he'd have woke up in heaven. But you got to understand something. When God starts writing on our heart, it's got to start on the inside. And on the inside, from the inside, it starts moving toward the outside. Amen. I believe when God cleans up the inside, it's our responsibility to clean up the outside. Amen. Thought about that. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. Amen. That's 'cause God wrote something on this fleshly heart. Amen. And changed this fleshly heart. Let me go ahead and tell you something. When the finger of God comes down and gets a hold of your heart, you know it. Amen. There will be a change. Amen. Lastly, the finger of God writes our names in heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He sent them out. Come back, they shouting and jumping and having a fit because demons are subject to them. And Jesus says this, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The most important question is not who knows your name on earth, but who knows your name in heaven. Donald Trump don't know who I am, but Jesus Christ does, amen? I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. I'd rather that Jesus know me than know anybody else on earth. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to have all that. I just want my name to be written in heaven. If your name is written in heaven tonight, you got a reason to rejoice, amen? Amen. Thought about that as a song that Juwan sings. And the chorus goes something like this. But there's a record book my name is written in. It was recorded there when I was born again. No one can blot it out. It's sealed forevermore. It's in the book of life, kept by the Lord. Amen. Is your name in that book? So that's the question tonight. On a Wednesday night in Bible study, is your name written in that book? If it ain't, it can be. If it ain't, it should be. If there's any question tonight about that, I'd get on this altar. So the finger of God wrote the law to guide us. Finger of God wrote conviction to keep us, judgment to warn us, deliverance to free us, our future for his purpose, the truth on our hearts, and our names in heaven. Amen. If you would bow your heads. If you got a need tonight,